Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Having loved them, Jesus loved them to the end. Today's reading is the beginning of the end of the story of Jesus. The first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John have covered 3 years of Jesus' life. And now the remaining 9 chapters are going to tell just of his last few days. Jesus has come to Jerusalem for the last time. He sits down to eat with his friends, and the telling just of this meal takes 5 chapters. You may have heard it called the farewell discourse, as Jesus speaks at length with his disciples. Jesus is preparing his disciples for what is going to happen next. His hour has come, the story says, the hour of his departure, of his death, resurrection, and ascension. Jesus came from God, and now Jesus is preparing to return to God. He has so much to tell his disciples about what will happen when he's gone, how they will carry on, the Spirit who will come to lead and guide them when he is no longer present. It is the beginning of the end for Jesus, and it begins with an act of extravagant love. Have any of you participated in a foot washing service at a church? I have a few. What was it like?
Humbling.
Good, humbling.
Uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, yeah. Yeah, all those things. Any of the rest of you, would you like to try it? I brought it up here and gotten, oh no, we don't do that. Although there was a tradition here of when we did First Communion, I think. Was it the First Communion kids had their feet washed, or the Confirmation kids? Yeah. Something we haven't quite done that same way since I got here. But many who have participated have found it incredibly meaningful, that humbling, but also the love that's a part of it. But there's also some resistance. There's a distaste for touching people's feet. But I think even more, we're uneasy with the intimacy and the vulnerability that it involves. I'm not actually any more comfortable being the one in the chair having my feet washed than I am washing someone else's feet. It's all just a little too much. It's outside our comfort zone. Now, the story that we read today is the second story of feet and washing feet in John's Gospel. Between the time that Jesus raised Lazarus and the meal that we read about today, there's another meal and another act of great love. Jesus sits down to eat with Lazarus and Mary and Martha and with all his disciples. And during that meal, Mary gets up from the table and she takes this expensive scented oil that she has and she pours it on Jesus' feet and then wipes them with her hair. It is an over-the-top act of love and dedication, an expression of her gratitude and care for Jesus. Now, as Jesus comes into Jerusalem and the story moves inexorably toward the cross, the scene of extravagant love is repeated, and this time it's Jesus washing feet. Here, Jesus upends the custom. As I talked about with Silas here, it would usually be the lowest slave in the household who washed the feet of guests. But Jesus, when everyone has arrived, oh, that's still Mary. When everyone has arrived and they're sitting at the table together, Jesus stands up from the table. He gets their attention by waiting until the meal has started. And he takes off his robe and puts on the towel, and he starts going around and washing their feet around the table. It is wholly unexpected and completely inappropriate, as only Jesus can be, right? Scandalous even for a teacher and master to wash the feet of his disciples. And of course, it is Peter who expresses his discomfort. Jesus, you will never wash my feet. But Jesus has a point to make. He is once again performing an action that has a meaning beyond the act itself. As he does with the signs all through John's gospel, when he feeds people and heals people. He does this act of washing feet to focus the disciples on what it means to love one another. It means upending expectations. It means crossing boundaries. It means doing some things that might be uncomfortable. Taking the role of a servant, not worrying what it looks like or counting the cost. Jesus finishes his task. He puts on his robe and he returns to his place at the table. And he says, "Do you know what I have done to you? Do you understand why I did it?" Jesus says, "I've done this as an example for you of how you are to love one another." And that word, example, that Greek word, could also mean a pattern or a model of how you are to love. In that moment, but also in the whole 3 years of his life up to this point, this pattern, Jesus has lived in this pattern of abundant love, showing his disciples what it means to live in service. Caroline Lewis writes, "Jesus, as the Word made flesh, has established a pattern of being, witnessing to God's presence in the world that the disciples will now need to take on. The foot washing is something of a microcosm of God becoming flesh, God dwelling with us, now no greater than we are. Jesus is returning to the Father. As such, the ongoing revelation of God in the world, making God known, will be up to the disciples." And that's us, my friends. The disciples whose responsibility it is now to make God known in the world in our acts of love and service. Oh, do you remember that old song? I just remembered it now. I didn't remember when I was preparing the sermon, they will know we are Christians by our love. That is the purpose of Jesus' actions. He's getting ready to tell the disciples how they will carry on without him, sharing God's love and giving witness to God's presence in the world. But first, he shows them, he serves them and loves them, and shows them what God, what love looks like. Our core value focus today and this week is Christ-centered love and service and mission. We are called to share God's love in the world in both small and extravagant ways. As we journey through this season of Lent, I invite you to find acts of service to do. Cook a meal for Family Promise and then go spend the evening with the families there. Write a card or make a phone call to a church member you haven't seen for a while, or a friend or family member who lives far away. Make a financial donation to a cause that moves you, to Lutheran World Relief for the people of Ukraine, or to Lutheran World Hunger that's used all around the world to feed people, or to a local program whose work you believe in. In a few weeks, we will again gather after church to write letters to our congressional leaders, asking them to support and protect legislation that ensures everyone has access to adequate food. It's our offering of letters and a great way to serve. You may even look for ways to be involved on a regular basis. Volunteering at church on Sunday morning, we have a number of roles we need to fill. Or volunteering at a hospital or a food bank each week. There is no end to the ways we can show God's love in the world. We do many of them here, but there is more. Especially when we are willing to take small steps outside our comfort zone. Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, and it signals the beginning of the end of the story. It begins with extravagant, over-the-top love. But we know that the end of the story, the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, is really just another beginning. The beginning of a new story in which God's love has defeated death and sin and evil and freed us to live as God's people in the world. A new story in which the Spirit of Jesus abides with his followers, with us, and guides us in lives of love and service. A story that is new again every morning as God's beloved and forgiven people go out to bear witness to God's presence in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.